بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of the Noble Quran, and this is chapter 2, and we are on verse 27, based on the explanation by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Or before that, this is 26 rather. 26 please. We didn't touch on 26. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Verily, Allah is not ashamed to set forth a parable or an example even of a mosquito, or so much more when it is bigger, or less when it is smaller than the mosquito, meaning. And so for those who believe, they know that it is the truth from their Lord. But as for those who disbelieve, they shall say, what did Allah intend by this parable? By it He misleads many, and many He guides thereby, and He misleads thereby only those who are al-fasiqun, the rebellious and the disobedient to Allah. So in the beginning of this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا. Allah is not ashamed of giving the parable or the example of, in this case, of even a mosquito. Meaning Allah is not ashamed to give similitudes and parables, even though this parable may be looked upon as despicable and low, as long as through this parable or this example the truth is affirmed. The truth is affirmed. So the objective here is what is asserted, is to affirm through the examples and the parables, affirm the truth. Because the parables which Allah sets for mankind contains lessons and benefits and wisdoms for the benefit of mankind. Mosquito, meaning an example of a mosquito, as the mosquito is known, and it's a parable set to express how minute things could be, or how lowly could be. And it is said that the reason behind this revelation, by the revelation of this verse, is that the mushriks, the pagans, objected as to how come that Allah sets parables with the fly, as in His saying in Surah Al-Hajj in 22 verse 73, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ O mankind, a similitude has been coined, so listen to it carefully. Verily those on whom you call besides Allah cannot create even a fly, even though they combine together for the purpose. And if the fly snatched away a thing from them, they would have no power to release it from the fly. So weak are both the seeker and the sought. So they said, Allah is mentioning here the similitude of a fly in order to affirm or establish proof and evidence. So in response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that He is not ashamed from the truth, even to the extent of giving the parable of a mosquito and what's above or what's low. Allah said, even a mosquito, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, or so much more when it's bigger, or less when it is smaller. So what is really intended by this فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, what is even more? This could be more in terms of the extent in being so much despicable, and thus it would be even worse than the mosquito. Or could it mean something higher than the mosquito itself? Like, for example, the fly. The fly is bigger and more strong. There's no doubt that it is the case. So, yet the verse could mean, it could mean as to less when it is smaller, but this term فوقها meaning less in this case, because the term فوق could refer to something low and something high, as the term in Arabic الوراء, back, could refer to what's in front and what's in the back, as in the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Kahf in chapter 18:79, وَكَانَ وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا. وَرَاءَهُمْ مَلِكٌ يَأْخُذُ كُلَّ سَفِينَةٍ غَصْبًا, meaning that there was in front of them, although the term وراء could mean both, or which could mean both, could mean in front or after. So as in the case of this mosquito, it could mean lesser in terms of the degree of size, or it could be even more in terms of despicability, meaning even worse than the mosquito. So it will be at quote unquote lower level in this sense. So with respect to Allah, there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not ashamed to mention this or that. What matters is the objective. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as to those who believe, now people now will differ into two kinds with respect to this parable and to the parables which Allah sets in the Quran. In this case, there will be فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believe, they know, فَيَعْلَمُونَ, they know that this parable, this example which Allah had coined, is the truth from their Lord, and they believe in it, and they see that in this there are clear signs. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tawbah verse 9, At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 24, and then after that we'll take 25. وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فأما الذين آمنوا فزادتهم إيمانا وهم يستبشرون وأما الذين في قلوبهم مرض فزادتهم رجسا إلى رجسهم وماتوا وهم كافرون. Correction please, this is 9 124 125, sorry for that, the one was dropped. And whenever there comes down a surah, a chapter, some of them, the hypocrites say, this is the first time. Which of you has had his faith increased by this? As for those who believe, listen, now this is the other time. It has increased their faith and their rejoice. Just like Allah is saying concerning this parable here. When this parable is set, they believe. And they know that it's the truth from Allah. But as for those on whose hearts is a disease of doubt, disbelief and hypocrisy, it will add suspicion and doubt to their suspicion, disbelief and doubt, and they die while they are disbelievers. This is similar. So this Quran, people differ into two kinds regarding this Quran. Those who were guided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them success, they are the believers. And the other are the disbelievers, the disdainful, the arrogant, the hypocrites. Those who disdain, then Allah, or doubt, then Allah increases their doubt. Here similarly Allah says now as to the second type, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, the same verse we are talking about, 226. Now as to the other type, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. And as for those who believe, we know. But as for those who disbelieve, that's it. They say, what did Allah intend by this parable? By it he misleads many, and many he guides thereby. And he misleads thereby only those who are rebellious. Because they turned away from the truth, and therefore it wasn't clear to them. As Allah describes that clearly in another verse in the Quran in 83:13 and 14. إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ كَلَّا بَلْ ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. When our verses of the Quran are recited to him, he says, tales of the ancients. Nay, but on their hearts is this ran, which is the covering of sins and evil deeds which they used to earn. So this parable, they are questioning it. Why? Allah says that concerning this parable misleads many, meaning this term here, this statement is to make clear the wisdom behind setting or coining the parables, even with this despicable animal, the mosquito. That's why it is, one should stop when he recites ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا, stops here. What does Allah intend from this parable? He misleads many from mankind and guide by it many, and only those who are rebellion are the ones who are misled and misguided. those who rebel against Allah and His obedience. And what is referred to in this rebellion is the absolute rebellion, which this disbelief, unbelief. Because the fisq, and this is important, fisq, disobedience or rebellion, is of two types. Fisq, it could be absolute fisq, absolute rebellion, and this is kufr. And it could be of the lesser one, and it could be of the lesser one. Take for example in 32 verse 20, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ. Surah Al-Sajda verse 20. And as for those who are fasiq, those who disbelieve, here this is what is meant, their abode will be the fire. And this refers to the fisq of the major fisq, which is the kufr, the disbelief. And similarly in this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, what's intended is the kafir, the disbeliever. First of all, the benefits now. First benefit of this verse: affirming bashfulness to Allah. Affirming bashfulness to Allah. Because Allah says, verily Allah is not ashamed. So, negating that He is not ashamed with respect to this parable here indicates the affirmness of His bashfulness in that which is opposing. And this came very clear and explicit in the Sunnah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يستحيي من عبده إذا رفع يديه إليه أن يردهما صفرا خائبتين. Meaning, Allah is bashful and most generous. يستحي, He is bashful. If the man raises his hands invoking Him, to turn them empty handed. So here haya is affirmed to Allah, and Allah is not ashamed from the truth. And this tells that Allah is ashamed from that which is not the truth. Because being ashamed from that which is not the truth is a perfect attribute, and Allah is qualified with all the perfect attributes. So this hadith explicitly stated and affirmed this attribute to Allah, bashfulness. And this verse affirms it to him by way of understanding. And bashfulness, like the rest of the attributes of Allah, the believer must believe in it being an attribute of Him. Because the reason, because Allah affirmed it for Himself, and Allah knows of Himself more and of others. So if He tells His slaves and informs them of one of His attributes, then they must accept this attribute, and it's not permissible for them to oppose it by what they think to be reasoning, while it is really in reality an illusion. Why is this? Because the speech of Allah comprises all the attributes that necessitate the acceptance of what He tells, because it comes from the one qualified with perfect knowledge, perfect admonition and clarity, perfect eloquence, perfect truthfulness. These perfections, knowledge, truthfulness, good intent, and clarity and eloquency all necessitate the acceptance of what He tells. As to the knowledge, no one doubts or denies that Allah knows of Himself more than others. As to truthfulness, the speech of Allah is the most truthful of speech. As to the eloquency, the speech of Allah is the most eloquent. And that's why the Arabs, although they were highly graded for their eloquency, they were unable to bring something similar to the speech of Allah. As to the intent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa 4:26, يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم. Allah wishes, intends to make clear what is lawful and what's unlawful to you, and to show you the ways of those before you and accept your repentance. Also we read in 4:176, and I would like everyone inshallah to think deeply about these words. Allah wishes to make it clear to you and to show you the ways of those before you and accept your repentance. Also, يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ أَمْ تَضِلُّ. Let's have the end of the verse. Okay, alright, there you go, at the end, look at it please. Thus does Allah make clear to you lest you go astray, lest you go astray. And Allah is the all-knower of everything. So if Allah tells us about one of His attributes, then we must accept this information and believe in what it denotes. And it is not permissible for us to distort the meaning to something which opposes the obviously understood meaning of the attribute, except with an evidence from the book or the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the way of Ahlul Sunnah. Now, this attribute now is affirmed to Allah, the attribute of bashfulness. But it is not like the bashfulness of the created, because that of the created is a humiliation facing what man, or in relation to what man may face, and is unable to resist. So you find him humiliated, speechless, or doesn't do anything. And this is an attribute of weakness. If it takes a place in its improper place. And from the benefits of this verse is coining the parables, setting the parables, because the similitudes are physical matters. said to denote possible matters. Listen to what Allah states in Surah Al-Ankabut. Al-Ankabut, the spider, another example. 29:41. مثل الذين اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء كمثل العنكبوت اتخذت بيتا وإن أوهن البيوت لبيت العنكبوت. The likeness of those who take protectors and helpers other than Allah is as the likeness of a spider who builds for itself a house, but verily the frailest, the weakest of houses is the spider's house if they but knew. So this house that it builds for itself cannot protect it from the heat or the cold, nor of the rain or wind. And that's why he said, and verily the frailest, the weakest of houses is the spider's house. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in 13, look at the other parable, 13:14, Surah Ar-Ra'd. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَبَاسِطِ كَفَّيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ لِيَبْلُغَ فَاهُ وَمَا هُوَ بِبَالِغِهِ. For him alone is the word of the truth. And those whom they invoke from, you know, the polytheists, those whom they invoke, answer them no more than the one who stretches forth his hand at the edge of a deep well for water to reach his mouth. Does it really reach it? But it reaches him not. And the invocation of the disbelievers is nothing but an error. A man stretches forth his hands at the edge of a spring or a deep well or a river. What? He wants the water to reach his mouth. This is not possible. And those who stretch their hands to their idols and those whom they worship besides Allah is like the one who stretches his hand to the river so that the water reaches his mouth. So from this we know, therefore, that the parables, the similitudes, brings closer the meanings to the understanding, or regarding their wisdom as well. From this we know, therefore, also, that someone who intends to clarify a certain matter, and if that depends upon giving a similitude, then let him do so by giving the similitude or the parable. And from the benefits of this verse is that the mosquito is from the most despicable of the creatures. Yet, even so, even though it is as such, but it really gives no rest to the tyrants, and it may be even it can destroy. It can destroy man. And from the points of benefit is that it is from Allah's mercy that Allah establishes the meanings, the possible meanings, by setting parables that are physical, so that these meanings settle in their minds. And from the benefits is the affirmation of qiyas, which means analogy. Affirmation of analogy, that analogy is a proof, because every parable Allah set in the Quran is a proof that analogy is affirmed. And from the points of benefit of this verse is the excellence of faith, and that the believer does not really stand to object what Allah sends down. He doesn't object by his own reasoning, because Allah described them in the verse, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as to those who believe, فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, they surely know that this is the truth from their Lord, and they don't object, and they don't say why, nor do they say how. They say, we listen and we obey and we believe, because they know and believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has the perfect wisdom in what He legislates and in what He ordains. And from the benefits of this verse is the affirmation of the will of Allah. And the will in Arabic is al-irada, the attribute of will. And the will, when adjoined or added to Allah, is of two types. The first is called the legislative will, الإرادة الشرعية, the legislative will, الإرادة الشرعية, which signifies love, like, for example, the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nisa 4:27, والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم, and Allah wants to يتوب عليكم, accept your repentance. The other type of irada or will is the universal will, which is called الإرادة الكونية, the universal will, which signifies what Allah wishes, and we'll give you now, inshallah, the difference between the two. Like in the case in Surah Hud 11:34, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَغْوِيَكُمْ, in Surah Hud 11:34, and my advice will not profit you even if I wish to give you good counsel, if Allah's will is to keep you astray. This is the universal will. He is your Lord, and to Him you shall return. And this is like the saying of Allah in 2:253, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ, إرادة, ما يريد, ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. And if Allah willed, succeeding generations would not have fought against each other after clear verses of Allah had come to them, but they differed. Some of them believed and others disbelieved. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought against one another, but Allah does what He likes. Allah does what He likes. This is the universal will of Allah, which no one can escape. No one can escape His universal will. Now, the difference between the two, and of course it is both are linked to His wisdom, but the difference between the two, that the legislative will is related to what Allah loves, whether it will take place or not. So please be careful. the legislative will is related to what Allah loves. Now, whether it will take place or not, as to the universal will, the universal will is related to the pre-decree of Allah, whether it is loved to him or not, whether it is loved to him or not. This is the first difference. And the second difference is that regarding the legislative will, what is intended may take place and it may not, in the legislative commands and what Allah intends behind that, it may take place and it may not. Those things which Allah loves may take place and may not. Allah loves belief, but not all mankind are believers. As to the universal will, what Allah intends, it's inevitable to take place. It is certain to pass. That is what, when you hear, if Allah intends anything, He says to it be and it will be, this is the universal will. And no one to check after Him. And He is the all-hearer, all-seer. And all of these wills are related to His wisdom and His justice and His knowledge. Is that clear, inshallah? Is this clear? The difference between the two. Okay, alhamdulillah. From the benefits is the affirmation of causes. From the benefits of this verse is the affirmation of causes. Ithbatul asbab. Where is the proof? Let us have the last part of the verse where Allah says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. He misleads thereby only those who are fasiqeen, the rebellious, the disobedient. So their rebellion is the cause for them being led astray by Allah. Their rebellion. And from the points of benefits of this verse is warning against rebellion and disobedience. And He misleads thereby only those who are rebellion. So there is warning against that. And from the points of benefits, affirming the special lordship. You know, earlier we understood that lordship is either general or special or particular. In this verse there is evidence for affirming the special lordship. Where is this? It is in the saying of Allah in the statement, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as to those who believe, they know that it is the truth from their Lord. Their Lord. From their Lord. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. From their Lord. And know that the lordship of Allah is divided into two types. General and particular. The general one comprises the entire creation, and it necessitates the absolute running of affairs of all creation. As to the particular one or the special one, is related to what it is adjoined to, or to what it is added to in the statement. And this entails a special care. This entails a special care. Both the general type and the specific or particular type came in one verse. And please try to remember this verse, because it's very beneficial evidence. Came in 7, 121 and 122. قالوا آمنا برب العالمين. The magicians of the Pharaoh, after they believe, قالوا آمنا, we believe in the Lord, we believe in the Lord of Al-Alamin, the Lord of all that exists. This is the general lordship, Lord. This is the general lordship of all that exists. He is Allah. Then the Lord of Musa, added to Musa and Harun and Aaron, his brother. So the second one is particular to whom? To Musa and Aaron and Harun. Similarly, Ubudiyya is of two types, general and particular. The general is as in Surah Maryam 1993. In kullu, this comprises the entire creation, the general. In kullu man fis samawati wal ardi illa ati ar-rahmani 'abda. There is none in the heavens and the earth but comes unto the most beneficent Allah as a slave. This is the general ubudiyyah. None can escape this, the believer or non-believer. The second is the particular one. As in 25:1, it is added, it's adjoined to a particular case, like تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده. Blessed be he, Allah, who sent down the criterion, meaning the Quran, to look at that, to his slave. So the slavery here is particular. And the difference between the two types of ubudiyya, the two types of slavery, is that the general one is the complete submission to the universal command of Allah, and the second one, which is the particular one, is the submission to his legal command. So let me ask you now, see the difference between the two now? Do you understand the difference now between the two, between the general ubudiyya, slavery, and the particular one? Is the difference clear? Okay, alhamdulillah, mashallah. Alright, now then let's take this question. The kafir is a slave of Allah under which one, under which form or which type of ubudiyya? The kafir, the unbeliever, under which one? The general, exactly. And the believer, under which one? The believer now, under which one? Both, excellent, mashallah, excellent. I wanted to see, mashallah, alhamdulillah, the believer is under both, the general and the particular, mashallah. Is this clear now? Is this understood, inshallah? Is this understood? Okay, alhamdulillah. From the benefits of this verse is that the term many, which came in the verse كثيرة, the term many does not denote the most numerous. Many does not denote, necessarily does not denote the most numerous. Let's take the verse now. Allah says يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. In the same verse, let's have it inshallah. Most numerous. By it he misleads many, and many he guides thereby. Okay, that's the verse. It does not denote the most numerous. If we take by this the apparent meaning now, by it he misleads many, and many he guides thereby, then one may conclude that the misled and the guided are the same. And the case, it is not the case. You agree that the guided and the misled in number are different? Do you agree? نعم. And this came in the Sunnah and in the Quran as well. In the Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it's a long Hadith, we'll read it inshallah. The Hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, and this is in volume 4, right, let's write it down so that people can benefit from the reference. Hadith number 4, I'm sorry, volume 4, Hadith 567. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will say on the day of resurrection, O Adam, Adam will reply, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ, and all the good is in your hand. Allah will say, bring out the people of the fire. Bring out the people of the fire. Adam will say, O Allah, how many are the people of the fire? O Allah, how many are the people of the fire? Allah will reply, From every 1,000, take out 999. From every 1,000, take out 199. At that time, children will become hoary-headed. Every pregnant female will have a miscarriage. And one will see mankind as drunken, yet they will not be drunken, but dreadful will be the wrath of Allah. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ asked, O Allah's Messenger, who will be that one from us, meaning saved from the fire? He said, rejoice with glad tidings. One person will be from you, and 1,000 will be from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the Gog and Magog nations. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by him in whose hands my life is, I hope that you will be 1/4 of the people of paradise. We shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allah is most great. He added, I hope that you will be 1/3 of the people of paradise. We shouted, Allahu Akbar. He said, I hope that you will be 1/2 of the people of paradise. We shouted, Allahu Akbar. He further said, you Muslims, compared to non-Muslims, are like a black hair in the skin of a white ox, or like a white hair in the skin of a black ox. Meaning your number is very small as compared with them or with this. So the term many, it doesn't really necessarily mean the most numerous. because many could refer even to few things and also on the most numerous. You can tell a person, I have $3, many $3, I have $3, many, like this. And you give him three. Because three could, or this many could apply to that of the few and the most numerous. And from the points of benefits, that guidance and misguidance are in the hands of Allah, where Allah said, He misleads many and He guides many. And Allah tells us of this, why? In order what? So that we return to Him. And this is in itself a great benefit. Why? For the person to return to Allah for guidance and to protect him from misguidance, so that he doesn't rely upon himself and thus purify himself, seeing no favor from Allah upon him. So let's bear that in mind. And in this also, there is a response to the deviant sect who say that man is totally independent, has nothing to do with the will of Allah. This verse stands in response to that as a proof against them. And also we have to remember the, in this regard, another benefit, that the guidance of Allah and His misguiding are based upon His wisdom, are in accordance with His wisdom, such that Allah does not mislead anyone except that He deserves this misguidance, that He deserves the misguidance. And this, in this curse, in this case, in this verse, they are the rebellions, the disobedient. And similar to this is what Allah said in Surah As-Saff 61 verse 5, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Very clear. And remember when Musa said to his people, Oh my people, why do you hurt me while you know certainly that I am the messenger of Allah? So when they turned away from the path of Allah, Allah turned their hearts away from His path, and Allah guides not the people who are rebellious, disobedient to Allah. So anyone who seeks goodness and takes the path that leads to it, then he will be successful. And the other who rebels and turns away, let him only blame himself. This brings the end of the discussion on this verse. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow His mercy on the Shaykh rahimahullah for these great benefits. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it of a benefit for ourselves. Wa jazakumullahu khairan.